Welcome to the Northridge Vineyard Hornsby podcast. We're so glad you joined us. Given the current situation, we gather as a community on Sundays via Zoom to deepen our relationships with Jesus and each other. This podcast is a recording of the talk component of that gathering. Keen to join us on Zoom next Sunday? Simply email hornsby@northridge.org.au. Our prayer is that today you'll find God and His incredible peace.
Hello, everybody, and welcome, as Andy said at the beginning, to the church's birthday. So what we're going to be spending some time doing today is covering off the first Pentecost, and that comes from Acts chapter 2. And I was going to, just as Andy wanted to sing happy birthday and got shut down, I wanted to have a candle behind Claire's head as we were reading part of the chapter today, but that got cancelled as well. So just know that there is a heart of joy in some of us today, and in others, I don't know.
Big bucket of cold water.
A big bucket of cold water. So anyway, anyway, let's jump in and working out what did Andy mean by that? What did he mean by the church's first birthday? The host has disabled participant screen sharing. That could be tricky, Sarah. So you have to do that in your web settings. So we could have a small delay with that, but we will try again, he says. Ah, look at that. She is a star.
We've been enabled.
Yeah, we don't want anyone sharing their screen willy-nilly.
No.
Do we? Goodness. Yeah, so welcome to Pentecost Sunday. So now, for those that were here last week, you would have noticed that the image looks the same. And as it says here in brackets, we've got what happened after Easter part two. So Andy and Sarah shared last week about Ascension Sunday and Ascension Day when Jesus went back up to heaven. So what we're covering today is that day, 10 days after that, which was Pentecost Sunday. So as just a reminder for those that weren't here last week, Jesus was crucified, he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples over a number of times, a number of different ways over those 40 days, and then he left them and told them to wait, and then they were all, which we'll go into, in Jerusalem, because they needed to be for a feast, for a mandatory feast, and something big happened, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So so let's jump in. So what we're going to cover is, what is Pentecost? Why is it called Pentecost, and what does it actually mean? Then we're going to dig in, and there's quite a lot of Bible today, so hopefully if you're at church you don't mind doing a lot of Bible, but there will be a fair bit of the Bible that we do today. And then once we sort of read through Acts chapter 2 together, then we're going to cover off really two key points. Why is the Holy Spirit a community thing, particularly for us as we move toward becoming our own individual community? And then why the Holy Spirit is important to be a part of our everyday lives. And then at the end, we're going to try something different around going into different rooms, different breakout rooms, to maybe continue discussing any questions you might have from what we share today, or to be prayed for, and or just normal debrief. So, so that's what we're going to unpack today. So, Claire, help us out here. What does Pentecost mean?
Right. Well, the word Pentecost is actually just an English translation of a Greek word, which is Pentecostos, and it simply means 50.
Ah.
So what we're going to do is talk about why the number 50 matters, and we're going to do like this big sweeping overview of basically an entire chapter of the Bible, mm-hmm. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to give you like a little framework so that when we read through the scriptures, you've got something to hold on to and put it all together, because there's a bunch of detail and a lot of words.
Okay.
All right. So the day of Pentecost was one of three major festivals that the Jewish people celebrated. And these were like mandatory celebrations where you had to come and have a festival, basically. And for the biggies, you had to come to Jerusalem. And these were like events where the community would come together. They would remember God. They would think about who they were as a people, give thanks, and basically be a big family. So we are at Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover. That's the 50 thing. And there's one more called the Feast of Tabernacles, which comes later on. But basically we're in the big red circle. So right. That's 50 thing.
Okay, so that's the 50 thing. So Passover is celebrated, as it shows here, back around Easter. And that's exactly when Jesus got crucified. And then there's another feast, unleavened bread, and that was a day later. And then first fruits, and then the 40-day period, and Ascension Day, and then Pentecost. Exactly. Okay, that's the 50. That's the 50 days, and they were told to wait. Okay, so let's sort of see now. So what sort of things before we actually read quite a big slab of scripture together, and people are patient with us, hopefully. What are we going to see in Acts chapter 2 today, Claire?
Well, we're going to see what scripture calls a suddenly.
Mm.
And suddenlies are like 50% scary and 50% fun, as we're going to find out. So basically what we see is Holy Spirit turns up and he pretty much launches this group of believers into what becomes the first early Christian church. And he does it in like pretty unexpectedly. He roars in as fire. He settles over each believer. It looks like a flame over their head. And he fills them up, which is quite... which is quite new for their theology. They're kind of used to the Holy Spirit turning up and like empowering them to do some particular thing and then that's it. But this idea that the very presence of God is going to fill them up is quite a new idea for them. So that's exciting. And as they get filled up, things really start to happen. They start speaking the languages, foreign languages, and they're the languages of the people in the city. So it's Jerusalem. There's immigrants, there's visitors, and these people start to hear people talking in their native tongues and the people are declaring the goodness of God on the streets, basically, and they come out to investigate what's happening. And so it begins.
Okay. And what we got to remember is, you know, everyone had to come there. So, you know, hands up if you had to come, you know, more than a minute to get to church today. You know, did you have to come from upstairs to downstairs, or the Rosses traveled a long way to church today. They traveled 10 minutes in the car. Brenton's in the car, I can see. So he had to either drive somewhere, looks like he's in a nice park. So the thing is, we didn't have to come far to come to church. But this feast, and everyone was in town, and everyone had to be there for one of those three mandatory feasts. And what we see is when we see the Spirit turn up, there's two different types of reactions for all these people in the city. There's the people we're going to hear about that, you know, are amazed, perplexed, and interested and want to understand what's going on, and they start asking questions. And then we're going to see a second group who scoff and heckle.
The hecklers,
yes.
Yeah, the hecklers accuse the believers of being drunk.
Mm.
And they are under the influence, but it is under the influence of a different kind of spirit. So to give you an example, Peter gets filled up and he gets this new boldness and authority, and suddenly he's basically launched into his leadership role in the church community, and he gives this fabulous first public message. And he's speaking to a crowd that the Bible tells us is made up mostly of devout Jews, and many of these people would have been in Jerusalem during the time of the crucifixion, and it's probably something that's being discussed at people's dinner tables. Everybody's got an opinion. So Peter basically says to this group of people, he quotes to them from the book of Joel. He tells them about this old prophecy that they would have been familiar with. And he says this prophecy, which we're going to read a little bit later on, is basically about the Spirit being poured out. And Peter says to them, that prophecy is coming true today. That's actually what we're seeing. And it's coming true because Jesus, who you crucified, has now been resurrected. He's gone back to take his place at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he himself is actually pouring the Spirit out, and that's what you're witnessing. And as he preaches, it says people's hearts were pierced, and about 3,000 people were added to the church. They became followers of Jesus that day.
Wow, 3,000. So as Andy said, that was the day, the day the church started, and 3,000. So, you know, we've done quite a bit of preparation for today, but unfortunately I don't think we'll be getting 3,000 new Christians today. But, you know, maybe tomorrow. Okay, so let's dive in then. So for now we're sort of giving you all some context and look at the scriptures. Okay. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers.
They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are from many different countries, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can they mean? What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all."
Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that." Maybe not if you're a school mother doing COVID teaching at home. Now, what you see predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he's exalted to the place of highest honour in heaven at God's right hand, and the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today.
So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, not just 25 minutes, strongly urging all his listeners to save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter had said that day were baptized and added to the church. about 3,000 in all. Whew. So when we reflected on this, we're thinking, this is a really good topic for us as a church right now as we move to sort of becoming our own separate identity, because, you know, we can see when there was a group of people really earnestly seeking God, he turned up and he moved powerfully with them. So clearly God is into a group of people earnestly meeting as a community, worshiping him and being filled by the Holy Spirit. And then things actually happen. But I suppose, what do we expect to see then, Claire? Are we looking for speaking in different languages, or what are we, or big public,
evangelization?
Yeah, from the bridge in Hornsby, or what are we looking for?
Yes, well, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is the interesting thing. I think it's good to recognize that God is like this super creative person, and what he likes to do is come and fill people up to overflow so that the people around them are touched and blessed. But what that looks like kind of seems to depend on how he wants to express himself in that moment or for that season. But what doesn't change is the mission of God. And God has always been on a mission to bring back and restore people and families and communities and nations and all of creation, really. So he's always kind of wanting to do the same thing, but what it looks like kind of depends. But what happens in this chapter is that we see the last paragraph really paints this beautiful picture of what a church can look like when it's filled up and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So we'll take a quick look at that together.
Okay. So, and in our Bibles, it's a section called The Believer's Former Community. And it says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So when the Holy Spirit is around, what we sort of see, let's go through that. If we do that, let's just dive into this and let me take you through that again. So we sort of see a community who they devote themselves, yeah? So let's just unpack this. They devote themselves to what? What do they devote themselves to? The apostles' teaching, but not just all about learning, to fellowship and to the sharing in meals. And in prayer. And what happens? What's the result of that? What's the result of doing all those things with what when I read that, earnest hearts? And so what happens? A deep sense of awe comes over them, and the Holy Spirit, they're surrendering, and the Holy Spirit is coming over them, and a sense of awe of the Spirit being present creates all these amazing things, signs and wonders. And then through that, the power of this community meeting together, meeting together in one place, a physical place, not on Zoom, but meeting together.
One Zoom call.
And they worship together. They met in homes, just like the Rosses are doing today. They shared the Lord's Supper. They shared meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God. And interestingly, what's the result? So this is interesting. So we start with verse 42 with all the things they did. Then we see what it meant for them and how it transformed them, and then what they did as a community. And then the best bit of all, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Yeah, that's right. People just kept on getting saved. And it's not just a coincidence that this Pentecost festival was a harvest festival. And there's this idea through the Bible that harvest is like a spiritual principle, that what you sow grows up into maturity and then it can be gathered in. And so we have this idea that people who are lost can be loved on and taken care of and spent time with, and that eventually those people can be brought into the house of God and brought back into like a restored relationship with God and with God's family.
Hmm.
So we have all of this going on.
Hmm. And Claire, like you grew up on a farm, right? So this concept of a harvest for us, you know, city dwellers, and I grew up in the Blue Mountains, so it's not the country or the city. So what does this harvest mean when you think about it, a girl growing up on the farm who helped Dad with the harvest? And yeah, shit. What did that mean? What did the harvest mean to people back then and to you?
Well, harvest is really the culmination of the work of the year. So everything really leads to harvest. And it is very much a team sport. So everybody needs to do their bit. Or what happens is the harvest comes in late, or bits of it get missed, or something happens that means it doesn't. You don't get to see all the fruit of your work in the way that you should. So it's the kind of thing where everybody does their bit, and then when the harvest is in, it's like the best. It's really joyful and a big relief, and it's just really, really, really good time of celebration.
Mm. Right. So who wants to do that as a community? Brilliant, brilliant. We've got some hands up. Great. Okay, so that's a really, for me, I just thought that section of Acts 2 really is just such a great model for what how God wants us to live as a community. But Claire, I mean, that's just for the A-graders in this community, right? Isn't it? Like the ones that are deserving of the Holy Spirit, and the rest of us will just get alongside the A-graders, or
right.
or is it something for everyone in their everyday life?
Well, there's a key word, and that is gift.
Ah.
So Jesus called the Holy Spirit a gift. And the fabulous thing about a gift is that a gift comes from the heart and the generosity of the giver, which is good news for all of us, actually. And the Bible tells us that the Father does not withhold the Holy Spirit from anybody who asks. So this gift of the Holy Spirit is freely available for all of us as individuals and for us as a community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to bring that down to the individual level, we know that the Holy Spirit is a person, and he doesn't come just to an, you know, to an inferior or a superior person, to anyone who calls on his name. So, I mean, how do we give him room to have more influence then on our life?
Yeah, well, one of the themes that flows through the Bible is this idea of yielding. And so there's this kind of principle with the Holy Spirit where it's like surrender and possession. So I actually went and looked up the definition of surrender, and I'll read you a few options. It says, to stop resisting and submit to another authority, to give up one's rights and possessions, and to yield. So in other words, the Holy Spirit can really come and fill and occupy what's been yielded up to God. And it's kind of like when Paul talks about, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, or humbling yourself before the Lord. It's that laying down of our right to be in charge of our own life and to do things our own way, to justify ourselves, to provide for ourselves. All of that stuff kind of gradually gets yielded up to God, and then the Holy Spirit can kind of possess more and more of us and have more and more influence in our lives and the people of the lives around us. And basically that process is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of it really is to just make us look more and more like Jesus.
Okay. That sounds challenging and exciting at the same time. So any final tips?
Well, the other thing I would say is that the Bible actually tells us to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So rather than it just being this one amazing moment, we actually can be kind of continually refreshed and filled by him. So that's something that we can confidently ask God for whenever you like, every day, multiple times a day. And I guess the other thing that stands true with the Holy Spirit that is that he's a person and you can have a relationship with him. So just like We spend time with people to build relationship, and we get to know the sound of their voice, and who they are just becomes really familiar to us. It's really the same with the Holy Spirit. We want to be able to recognize his voice throughout our day, and that really just involves time with him and getting to know him. And he loves that process. He loves to lead that process and draw us into that.
Okay.
And he has a couple of different names which can help us understand who he is. So he's called the Comforter sometimes, the Counselor, the Breath of God, the Spirit of Truth and Understanding, and the Spirit of Christ, among other things. So his job is pretty much to shape us and lead us and empower us to follow Jesus and to keep on receiving from God and keep on giving it away.
Okay. So to summarise, right, so Pentecost, clearly it was a big deal. It was one of the three mandatory feasts, and Jesus promised it when he left. So it must have been important, this Holy Spirit thing. And we heard and read today that it came powerfully. To summarise, you know, whether you've been a Christian for 2 years or 22 years or 42 years, you know, the summary for me, you know, thinking about it and reflecting on it today is that for us in our individual lives and as a community, that it's a gift, it's a free gift that Jesus really wanted us to embrace when he left this earth. That was the thing that he was working towards and sharing, and that it's an ongoing thing that we need to be laying down and surrendering, and that, yeah, it's a continual process. And when you do, when they did that on that day, what we just read and saw is that when we do all those things and surrender to God, he shows up. He shows up. So that would be, I think, the summary, Claire.
That's a great summary.
Yeah.
So we're actually going to take some time to pray now, and I'm just going to go ahead and ask Holy Spirit to fill us up as a community today. So if you want in on that, maybe just close your eyes and put your hands out like you're ready to receive what he has for you today, and I'll pray. And then we're just going to have a couple of minutes where we're going to try and play some music quietly, and you can just find a comfy spot to just keep on receiving without my voice in your ear. And then after that, I'm going to close, and then we're going to talk about our breakout rooms and what happens next.
Okay.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of your precious Holy Spirit. Jesus, just like on the day of Pentecost, we want to gather together and wait for you to pour your Spirit over us in a fresh way. We know it's the work of your Spirit filling us up and overflowing that gives us power and gives us boldness, that makes us generous, that fills our community with peace and joy and freedom. And it's your Spirit that makes us fit for the work of harvest. So wake us up, Holy Spirit, so that we're ready for this new season. Wake us up so that we can see your face and hear your voice, understand your will, and be a witness wherever we go, telling people about your goodness. Fill our hearts and our mouths so that when we speak, our words carry life and land on the hearts of the people that we speak to. Help us get lined up as a community with heaven's plans and purposes, and let your Spirit of unity hold us together and keep us focused on what's important to you. Let a new sense of awe settle over us. So we'll take a few minutes now to make space for Holy Spirit to speak to us and fill our hearts. So why don't you just get comfy and I'll call us back in just a minute. You can pop your video off if you want to.